go to the rock, I know it's stable. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the fountain, and the mountain stands by me.
What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. I just love the Lord. I hope everyone's doing well. And first week of the new year, as everything gets going, and just really excited, as I always say this, but it's the truth. Really excited of what God's doing and just all his perfectness and his peace and joy that he gives each and every one of us. Let's all stand, if you will. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, hallelujah. Good to see y'all. Welcome to everyone online that's watching. We want to welcome you too. If anybody has a prayer request online, just put it in the comments section. We'd be glad to pray with you. And anyone here, if you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Now, why you got that hand up? You've got any praise reports? If God's ever touched you, he's ever blessed you, just throw that other hand up. Let's just give the Lord some praise this morning. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day, for this opportunity you've given us to gather together in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, we're here just to worship you. Dear Lord, we're here just to praise you. Lord, we're here to hear your word this morning, dear Lord. Lord, as this new season started, dear Lord, may we just dedicate everything that we are, everything that we have, and everything in our life to you. Lord, just to give you the glory, dear Lord. Each and every song sung, each and every hand raised, every instrument played, dear Lord, would be just to edify you. We ask you to accept it as our praise and worship. Dear Lord, there are those sick this morning. There's some that aren't able to be with us this morning because of their sickness. Those that are home, those are in assisted livings. Dear Lord, we just ask you to touch each and every one. Dear Lord, we just need you. Lord, we need you to guide us. Dear Lord, we need you to keep us strong. But most of all, dear Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you to guide us right now. Dear Lord, may we feel your presence. Dear Lord, may we worship you in everything that we do. Dear Lord, may we lift you up. So we stand together as this congregation. May we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. Ready just to worship and praise you. Lord, again, we thank you. Dear Lord, I just want to praise you this morning. I just want to thank you, Lord, for another day, another opportunity we have to come together. Lord, we love this congregation. We love those watching online. But, dear Lord, we want to lift up in one mind and just want to love on you. And God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, Amen, amen. Just praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm just in a spirit of praise and worship this morning. I don't know about y'all. My day started early and just been thinking about the Lord and just letting Him minister. And we're missing some folks this morning, and we really are. And we know that God's touching them. If He'll heal them, those that are traveling, those that have situations that aren't able to be with us. But let's keep them in our prayer. People are still coming in. So we're going to go ahead as a congregation. Thank y'all for standing still. Turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. I love this song. Praise God. Page. I haven't had a chance to give Miss Penny a heads up, so let her flip the book. And I told him in the back, I'll fly away. Praise God. If you can, y'all forgive me. I just feel emotional with that this morning. I just think about the praise and worship Almighty God, but most of all is that sacrifice, that precious blood that was shed for you and I to give us an opportunity, Lord, to come to the Lord and just know that Jesus paid that sin debt that we could not pay. No way we could pay it. But we could celebrate and know how great our God is and for the sacrifice of Jesus. But not only that, but that He is alive and well. Right hand, throne of grace right now, interceding for each and every one of us. Just praise to the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Praise God. Love the Lord. Love all. We're going to ask you, if you would, also, as we have been praying and in our thoughts, be in much prayer for all our different ministries and all the activities that are going forth. Been a busy December, but as we go into January, we're starting a lot of new things in life. Find a a ministry that you'd like to be involved in, and each and every one of you are personally invited. It's not a clique. It's not a group that you can't join. Just ask, and we'll gladly lead you in that right direction. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Amen.
Every morning, time for us to sing the chorus again, and y'all sing with us. If he found you, if he healed you, if he's called you from the grave, if he gave you his real love, then you need to thank Jesus. He washed your sins away. So let's do that chorus again.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I'm forgiven, you came, you set me free, that's what your mercy did for me.
Yeah.
Jesus, Messiah. He's the name above all names. He's my blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel. Jesus, Messiah.
blessing. You know, I just want to thank him for his concern and his compassion. He understands we're human. Man, sometimes we can't get over that fact. We think we're supposed to be absolutely perfect. You know, that's the reason Jesus came. Because we're not perfect. We can never be perfect without his Holy Spirit. But as many times as we fall, as many times as we get down, he's always there. Up. If you thank him for that relationship, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. You have your Bibles, go with us to the Acts of the Apostles. I like Acts because it denotes action. He knows we need action in this world today. Hallelujah. In the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse number 10, I want to read verse 10, 11. Drop down and read 14 and 18. Music to my ears to hear the pages of God's word being turned this morning. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, beginning with verse number 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the ship and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Verse number 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon, or a typhoon. Verse number 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We thank you and we praise you. God, we're so dependent on you. Father, we know that you're there for every situation, every crisis, every problem, every issue that we may encounter as human beings. Father, we ask you now, God, just to bless this congregation with your Holy Spirit. God, anoint this messenger's lips. God, anoint this tongue. God, to speak that you would have us to hear this morning. Father, I humbly ask, God, for your Holy Spirit to rain that heavenly manna down right now. God, reach out to those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who may be in need this morning, especially those who are lost and undone and unsaved. Father, I pray that this message would go forth and you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. You may be seated. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't ever let Satan take your joy away. May I just say, in unjoyful times, you can still have joy. In uneasy situations and problems and areas in our life that may be unpleasant, you can still have joy. Because our joy is not based on material things. It's not based on carnal things, but it's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Never let Satan take your joy away by the things that are happening around you or to you, as long as you have that peace and joy and satisfaction in your heart. In the book of Acts this morning, I want to bring a message entitled, We Must, everybody say we must, lighten our ship. We must lighten our ship. This week it has been on my heart and on my mind, the story. I've been in the book of Acts and I've been reading and about the epistles of Paul and what a mighty messenger he was and a vital instrument in the hands of God. Sometimes we just take it for granted that just Paul was an excellent writer. No, Paul had an excellent spirit, and that spirit was not his. And you remember, he fought Christians. He had Christians stoned and put to death. But Jesus made a change in his life. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus made a change in your life? The Apostle Paul became very prevalent, amen, in writing so many of the words that we preach today. But we find that Paul was apprehended for preaching the Word of God and was taken before King Agrippa. And in his own defense, Paul began to basically give his testimony and how he was walking away from God, and God turned his heart over and struck him down with blindness. And he began to give his testimony, and at the end of this testimony, King Agrippa said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Then he said, nevertheless, he said, I don't find anything worthy of death or even beating or anything. He said, just ship him off. You know, sometimes when you can't handle things, you just want to ship them off. And he said, just ship him off with the other prisoners to Italy or to Rome and let them deal with him, because I don't see anything that we can hold him for. So as the story goes, they were getting ready and they got on the ship and they made several little stops at different ports in their journey or in their voyage to make it to Italy. And it was nearing the season where winter was coming along, and really the sailors should have known that in these times the wind and the weather can be very tempestuous, as the Bible says, and it can certainly be uncertain. But Paul, being a man of God, and I want you to understand that God not only loves us and sent Jesus to save us, but he's concerned about our journeys. When there's a situation arise in our life, and God will give us discernment, he will give us feelings, he will give us wisdom and knowledge sometimes, when rather than taking out or striking out on our own, it's always good to counsel the Spirit of God. In any adventure, in any business transaction, in any journey that you may take. That's the reason we always pray God's will be done in our life for protection and guidance. And I believe the Apostle Paul was similar to us. He prayed, and I believe that God warned him in his spirit and in his prayer this could be a very dangerous journey. So Paul advised the centurion there, the one that was in charge of him. He said, "I just to be honest with you, I don't think this is going to turn out very good. In fact, I'm very concerned not only about the ship and the lading of the ship, but I'm very concerned about our lives." So the centurion went to the master of the ship, or the captain, and the captain said, "Hey, I got it. Don't you worry. We've seen these situations before. I know what I'm doing. Who are you to tell me to be aware? I've made this trip so many times, and I know what I'm doing. Just kind of be still and be at ease." As the world would tell you today, don't you listen to the preacher. Don't you listen to the Word of God. Don't you adhere to His Spirit. Just, we're going to continue just like we're doing. We're just going to sail on through all of the adversity, through all of the problems, through all of the world situations that are happening now and in our very eyes right before our situations that we see. We see things coming up in the world that I have never seen before. But the world said, "That's okay. Just sail on. Just keep going. Just keep doing your thing. And everything's going to be all right." So they struck out and they began to sail. After docking at several ports, they arrived at a place called the Fair Havens. Sounds like a good place to take a rest, to take a break. Sounds like a place where there's no problems, no wind, no violent waves or storms, just a tranquil place of easing and getting ready for the next part of the journey. But in this place that was called the Fair Havens, it was not an ideal situation. It was, in fact, around some cliffs, around some low tide, the sands and the things that were under the sea. And so many, many times ships would get stuck on these sandbars. And it was not a good place. But yet, the captain, ship's master, said, "We can dock here and we'll be okay." But not long after, say that with me, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. A Euroclydon. Some refer to it as a northeaster or a cyclone or typhoon. They begin to rock the ship. They begin to be fearful for their very lives. How many times have we been warned, yet we continue to sail on? After a while, they lost control of the ship. And after losing control of the ship, they began to lighten the ship. And I thought this week, Lord, why do we wait to the tempestuous winds. Why do we wait to imminent before there's, or when there's imminent danger right before us, or the situation boils over to a point where we can't do anything about it, and then we decide then we need God? We need to lighten our load. Well, first of all, they begin to throw off all of the freight. You see, they made a decision. We would rather be safe than have these material things. So they begin to throw off all of the freight. All of it. Get rid of it. Lighten the ship so that it doesn't hit the sandbar. But yet the wind got greater. The storm more treacherous. The ship began to rock back and forth. Experienced sailors were very fearful for their very lives. They've heard of these things. Seen the ship completely torn apart. Souls lost. So they huddled again and they made another decision. Let's get rid of all of the equipment. We don't need it. We need to live. Throw off everything that we don't need. Everything. Discard it. The furniture. The captain's chairs. The desk. Everything. Get it out of here. So now it's not important to us. Now it's not vital that we think we have to have this. They begin to lighten the ship. But as much as they threw off, as much weight as they were able to discard off of the ship, the winds kept blowing and the ship kept rocking back and forth and it was tearing apart on the cliffs, the sharp cliffs. And finally they realized that there was no hope saving the ship. The only thing that they could do was jump, swim to the shore. Paul, that same Paul who said, we don't need to do this. The preacher that said, you don't need to do that. You don't need to go there. You don't need all that in your life. It's never gotten you anywhere spiritually. Whether you realize it or not, it's weighting you down. It's causing you to put your faith and trust in things and not in God. God began to enlighten my spirit. There's things I don't really need in this life. There's things that have a tendency to weight me down rather than give me freedom to move spiritually as God would have us to do. Paul spoke up and he said, sirs, don't fear, because God has showed me that not a soul would be lost. And I pray God show me that. Sometimes you think the pastor or the preacher just want to preach you good feelings. No. There's so many times. You see, I'm not concerned about those who are born again, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, on their way to heaven, got their ticket punched. I'm happy for them, but there's some I don't know about. There's some, I can't make that statement today, that every soul will be saved. Not one single soul would be lost. And God pricked my heart. He didn't only prick my heart, He broke it in pieces. Because I can't honestly stand behind this pulpit and say, God, I know every soul that I know, every soul that I preach to, every soul that I prayed for, every soul that has come into this church. Amen. I can't say that. I don't know. But you and they know. God spoke to Paul and said, not a soul will be lost. Oh, the ship, it was torn to pieces. That life that you have built around you of joy, of things, of good feelings, of getting to where you want to be in this life, and nothing wrong with exceeding and doing well. God would have us to be successful, I believe, if we put Him first. That ship won't save you. That ship won't sail through tempestuous winds. It'll break apart. It'll fall down beside you. The sails will be torn. You'll lose control. And you'll go flailing through whichever way the wind blows you. in any direction, in every direction except, amen, to the cross and to where you need to be. Yet they threw everything off. Isn't it amazing? When the situation arose, we don't need this. I'm not prophesying, preaching. But if that eastern sky was to split right now, before this message is over, you hear that great trumpet blow. That trumpet, I believe every ear on this earth is going to hear. Would you say, Lord, I don't need this. I don't need that. It's not important anymore. This is not the single most important thing in my life. I thought at one time it was, but it's not. The most important thing in my life, Lord, is whether or not I'm ready when that eastern sky splits, Lord, when the trumpet sounds, or if you just decide to take my breath away. Ever how I hit that floor, Lord, is where my soul is going to spend eternity. Paul said, not a soul will be lost. I'm so glad that there was a faithful person on that ship. I'm so glad there's a faithful person in your life. One that you don't understand sometimes how they can just keep on going. They can just keep on believing. Amen. Even through the tempestuous winds of grief and sorrow and pain and stress. Oh my Lord, I have seen this week, just this week alone, what stress can do to a human being. To one I thought was perfectly healthy. Stress can be a downfall. It can cause you to have physical pain. It can cause you to have emotional pain. It can cause you not to really get your eyes focused on God and on His power and His anointing. And it can stress you out and can almost say, you know what? What's the use of going on? What's the use of trying? Seems like the harder I try, the rougher it gets. I want to tell you, if that's happening to you now, I want to tell you by the power of God that the best is yet to come. Amen. If you'll just persevere. If you'll just keep on pushing, if you'll not give up, if you won't throw everything away, if you'll say, Jesus, I don't need anything but you. Jesus is all that I need to carry me through the storms of life. Hallelujah. Things look good for a while. You see, when they first entered into this little haven of rest, this little, I guess you would call it an inlet, going to a certain port. The wind sort of quit blowing and they were just kind of paddling along. And the captain even got reassured that we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Looking pretty good now. Things have sort of eased up. You know, it's amazing to me that people, they govern or they liken the things materially in their life or how things are going around them, whether or not things are going well. Let me tell you something. In the belly of the fish where Jonah was, there's not a person today that would say things were going well, but actually they were. Because God was having His way, Jonah wasn't having His way. Because Jonah went the other way, and God wanted him to go this way, so He put him in the belly of the fish. And we can't say, oh, that's good. Yes, that's exactly where God wanted him. Joseph was in the pit because that's God, where God wanted him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire because that's where God wanted them. Daniel lay down with the lions because that's where God wanted him. No, it doesn't look pleasant. It doesn't look like it's the best thing that ever happened. But I will assure you, if every one of them was here to testify today, oh, that's the best thing that ever happened to me because God brought me through it. God brought me out of it. I'm stronger now than I was then. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for making a way through the storm. We almost got it. I can see the captain now, maybe a sense of relief. Ship's master, on unit. Been through hard times before. We're almost there. Almost there. And I can almost in my spirit hear some wailing. some grown men crying, shouting, "Danger! Danger!" They lost control because that little tempest, that little bit of a breeze and wind turned into a tempestuous blowing typhoon. And it hit that ship with all the force and the power that comes from a typhoon. Brother Eddie, that exactly feels like what I'm going through right now. I thought things got better. I thought we had sort of kind of got the worst behind us. But I've been hit with a typhoon, a spiritual typhoon. One so difficult, one so hard that I don't even know which way to turn. I'll tell you where to turn. Turn to God. Because everywhere else you turn, it's not going to get you any benefit whatsoever. But if you'll turn to God. And sometimes things happen so that we do turn to God. Then Paul steps up. Paul was human. Paul had a good spirit. Paul was blessed and anointed with wisdom, knowledge, able to speak several languages, the ability to write, the ability to stand before a king and defend himself. But Paul's human. You know what he said? Paul said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me." See, that human factor rose up. I preached to you and I preached to you and I preached to you. I told you this shouldn't happen. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't go there. But yet you went anyway. But you know what? Even in that, Paul prayed for him. Lord, don't let a soul be lost. Don't let the first soul be lost. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they've done. Lord, I don't care how many times we fail. God, not a single soul be lost. That is this pastor's prayer this morning. Not a single soul be lost. I want to see every one of you in heaven. I want to see you rejoicing and praising the Lord. But I almost tell, also got to tell you that God said you need to lighten your ship. And it almost can feel the anticipation when God was laying this on my heart. Because we're human, and the first thing that we're going to think of, well, he's asking me to sell everything I got. No, that's not. You're missing the point entirely. It's not the things, the material things. If you're a child of God, they're just a way of means till Jesus comes. You're just using them now. You're not going to take them with you when God sends his angels to open the sky, and here comes Jesus back to take us. You're not going to need any of those things. But I will assure you, and I don't know this, and nobody's told me anything. I've just been speaking to God and seeking God and asking God, Lord, help me through this sermon. But I can almost assure you that there may be some, one, two, I don't know, sitting right now in this congregation whose heart is so heavy. And you're praising the Lord and you're worshiping the Lord and you're believing the Lord, but your heart is heavy. Because there's some things that's happened in the past. There's some things that you've carried. There's some things right now that are on your mind that stresses you out. Many, many times you're trying to do your everyday chores and schedule, but this is just waiting on you. I mean, heavy. Difficult to deal with. So much so that during the day you have to stop and pray 3 or 4 or 5 times, Lord, help me through this. Help me through this. You know, it's so sad to say there's people today that got hurt in church several years ago and they won't enter a church door now for nothing. Let me tell you something. It wasn't God who hurt you. It wasn't God who hurt you. We're human. We're human. As close as Peter was to Jesus, he turned his back on him, denied him 3 times. Jesus forgave him. Gave it. People will hurt you. Organizations will hurt you. Relationships will destroy you. But God won't hurt you. He loves you. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I humbly ask this morning, are there things in your life you need to cast aside? I don't need that. I don't need that weighting me down. I don't need that bothering me. I don't need that stealing my joy. I don't need that keeping me from church. I don't need that keeping me from my prayer time. I don't need that keeping me from getting in the Word of God. It can be little innocent things that we think of that can mount up so much that sooner or later, we ain't got time for God at all. But they suddenly realized when the storm really hit, I don't need it. They begin to lighten the ship. Do your spiritual ship need to be lightened? Does it feel like it's weighted down? Does it feel like it's stuck in a sandbar? Do you feel like you're not making any progress whatsoever spiritually? Do you feel like you're just holding on till Jesus comes? And we need to, but we still need to have joy until He comes. You see, being a pastor, sometimes we hear things that are not so joyful. We're nothing else, we're a shoulder for people to kind of tell us what's going on. And we hear these things, and we pray, and we encourage, and we lift up, and we read Scripture. But at some point, that person's going to have to cast them off and lighten their ship and focus on what is really important in their lives. And I've got to say, the single most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. Without Him, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. No worldly gain, not riches, not wealth, not fame, not anything in this world except Jesus Christ. When you get to a point and you say this, I wish that I had made different decisions 30 years ago. And maybe all of us do. But when it's affected your health, and when it's affected your mindset, when it's affected your relationship, more importantly, when it's caused distance between you and God. And now you're older and wiser, and you look back and you say, you know what, I don't really need that. I need that. Hanging on my shoulder. I don't need that nagging me every day. I don't need that when I go into my prayer closet. And the first thing, you know who's wanting you to hold on to that? Satan. He's wanting you to hold on to that pain, that hurt, that discouragement, that loneliness, that fear, whatever it is. That's what he wants you to be so burdened down with. Your little ship, your spiritual ship, gets stuck. Feels like you're not making any progress whatsoever. You're just being swayed to and fro, waiting for that ship to break apart. Well, I can tell you, folks, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, that if you get rid of those things and you make way for Jesus Christ, not just to be a part of your life, but be your life, things will be better. I'm not saying you'll always have smooth sailing. Case. But I know who pilots my ship. And he's never lost one. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, in this world, we have our troubles. Sometimes lonesome, sometimes blue. But the hope of life eternal brightens all our hopes and views. I'm longing for the coming of my Savior, Lord and King. Seems I hear the loved ones singing a new song I'd like to sing. The chorus says, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this old world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. As I prepare to close this message, I want to send something out to you, if I might. And you know this altar is open. We say that all the time, but you should know that by now. You'll never be turned away from this altar. You'll have loved ones praying for you and praying with you. But I don't know that if we've had sufficient time to let this sink in. But I want you to pray about it. I want you to ask the Lord. Because really, there may be things in our life that we think that we absolutely have to hold on to. Maybe we need a little time before we make that decision. And if that be the case, I want you to dwell on that today. I want you to think about it. More importantly, I want you to ask God, Lord, is there something? Is there something that's blocking blessings from me? Is there something that's blocking my joy? Is there something, God, that's holding me back? Listen. Irregardless of whether you've just got saved, just filled with the Spirit of the Lord, or you've been living for the Lord 30, 40, 50 years, Satan doesn't care. He bombards all of us. And I will assure you, there's things that I've had to release. And really more intangible things than tangible things. Things that you really can't touch. Things that you really can't feel. It's not material. It's not furniture. It's not possessions. It's feelings. It's hurt. It's pain. Different things. Different things that build up and build up and build up and weight your spiritual ship down. It's time to lighten that ship. It's time to go sailing. Casting it off. And when you cast it off, don't circle the ship back and go get it. Amen. You see, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was either. And I don't want to go back and pick up anything that I have discarded for my God's sake. Would you stand? I ask you to think about it. Now, if you've thought about it and you want relief right now, this altar's open. But it came to me as I was praying this morning. Maybe we need to think on this. Maybe we need to contemplate on this. As we have service tonight, I wouldn't care if before the very first song we came in, we said, Brother, I'm ready to cast it aside. I'm ready to lay it down. Because I've had time to think about it. I've had time to kind of digest the Scripture. I don't want nothing to hinder me. And what I would love to see tonight, amen, is bigger than the Boston Tea Party. Bigger than what they cast off. I want to see us coming clean tonight. Not to me, not to the church, but to Jesus. And said, Lord, I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't want that anymore. God, it's blocking me. It's holding me back. I'd love to see us have a delivering service. Glory to God. How many will pray for a delivering service tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know some of you can't make it, but if you can't possibly make it, pray tonight that there'll be deliverance here. I want to see some ships that'll go sailing out of here tonight. Glory to God. With not a worry, not a care, not a situation. Ready to go on and go forward for Jesus. Can we do that? With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're ready to make that commitment now, if you're ready to start casting it aside now, you please come now. I will assure you we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Is there one? I don't want to get adjusted to this world. I don't want to feel this, that this is my place. I want to know that I'm going to a better place. And Lord, when that day comes, when my eyes close in death, whether you come and take me away in the catching up of the saints. God, I don't want anything to hold me back. I don't want any hard feelings. I don't want any animosity. I don't want anything to keep me, amen, from making that spiritual journey. God bless you is our prayer. Please pray. Please take inventory. Please be back tonight. God bless you.
God's word is true, faithful. It'll never lead us astray. It's been a challenge put out for each and every one of us to take inventory. This altar's open if anyone needs prayer this morning. I know God's already moved in so many ways as we started this powerful service and feeling His Spirit just walking in the doors. May we continue that. Let's just pause just for a moment. And let's just pray silently and or however you want to pray just for a moment before we dismiss. But there is an invitation, not only here, but for tonight and for each and every day going forward. Our most gracious and heavenly Father God, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord. We thank you for the message that came forth this morning. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to feel your holy presence. And Lord, for this calling you've given each and every one of us. Dear Lord, maybe we think this is the way it's supposed to be in our mind. But dear Lord, may we turn this, everything that we have over to you and let you clean house, let you guide us. Lord, may we celebrate you and each and everything you've done for us. Lord, we love His congregation, we love His church. And Lord, we love you. So Lord, we ask you now, dear Lord, to give us the direction that you would have us to go, dear Lord, to lead us, to guide us, and just continue to let your love pour out on each and every one of us. Lord, we know you love us, and Lord, may we love you just the same. And Lord, as we prepare to depart now, we just ask that you'll keep us safe, you'll bring us back at our appointed time, and Lord, but most of all, may we just bask in your presence. We know that you've healed. We know that you're touching. We know that your anointing power is so strong. The Lord, guide us and direct us. Lord, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, as I said, the Lord. And we just give you all the honor and all the glory. In the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen, amen. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. See y'all tonight. Praise God.